Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. This is kind of our beginning scripture. We'll begin and end with it. Praise God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. So, usually at the beginning of December, I start reading the Christmas stories. They're found in Matthew and Luke. And I'll just read them over and over and over. And I've read them over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, I'll read something like going, oh, did you just put that there today for me? So, you know, especially this season, you can just go, well, it's Christmas season. No, no, no. It's Jesus always. So I was reading this, and so we're going to start here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What does it mean? God with us. Yeah. So the title of the message is God's with us all the time. Always. Always. All right. So God with us. Now, I was thinking about this, you know. Yeah, God's with us. Woohoo! You know, in the good times, it's real easy for me to say, yeah, God's with me. It's real easy, you know, just to believe that when I get the unexpected Christmas bonus. Woohoo! You know, and it's really big. And I'm like, yeah, it's easy to believe that God's with us. It's easy to believe that God's with us when your baby sleeps through the night for the first time. God is with us. Yeah. Man, I would write those on the calendar, all right? How about this? This happened to me the other day when it was pouring down rain. I got a front row parking at the grocery store, and I'm going, God, you are good. God, you are with me. God, you are awesome. All right, so it's easy to sense God's with you in those good times, and we're going to call them the mountaintops. You know, everything's just doing wonderful. I'm on the mountaintop. God is with me. This is great. But sometimes, for me, and probably a lot of you, it is more difficult to sense God is with me when things don't go so good. Things don't go good at all. Like when you've got some bad news, you're just hurting, you feel lonely, you're fighting depression. It is hard to sense God is with you. And we're going to call that the valleys, all right? So I want to talk about, where is God in the valleys? Where is he in the valley? So that's kind of our second title. I couldn't figure out with two titles here, so here we go. So I was thinking about that in parts of my life, and it was really interesting. So much of our life can be really, really good, right? We're on the mountaintop. I had the repairman in for my refrigerator, and it's under warranty. Oh, that's awesome. I had a friend that happened, because otherwise they were looking at dropping. Refrigerators start at $1,000, don't they? Yeah. So she was like, man, God is good. I'm on the mountaintop. It's under warranty. Praise God. They're giving me a brand new one. Or your kid just got this big scholarship coming up, right? Or I was talking to a neighbor. I ran into her at the market a couple of weeks back. And she said, man, it is the first time I didn't have to help my daughter out in her rent. She had graduated college, and she's just been struggling trying to get jobs and stuff like that. And, you know, at that point, she's like, man, God is really good. I didn't have to bail him out. How many would say, that's really good? Those are my goals in life. I'm not bailing them out, right? So what I look at that is, in other words, there's areas in my life. I've got a bunch of areas in my life where I'm on the mountaintop. It's really good. Anybody on the mountaintop today? Don't raise your hand if you're not. Just fake it, you know, okay? So, right? But then, so I've got these areas in my life. I got this area, the refrigerator was under warranty. My kids slept through the night. And then I've got some one thing or maybe two things that happen that really weigh down my life, puts me in the valley. I go from the mountain to the valley. Anybody ever have, I'm doing good, and then, and you just feel like you're down here. You're down in the valley. Well, maybe I'm the only one, but we're going to talk about it. Because sometimes you can sense this real seriousness, this real heaviness while you're down in the valley because you got all these news. Anybody ever get there in the valley, all right? Your family was doing really good. Your job's doing really good. And then you get this unexpected phone call. And, man, it just knocks the wind out of you. I've had a couple of those, just like, oh my gosh, what happened? person was telling me a couple weeks ago that, you know, I've known them for a long time. This was good. And they got an announcement at their offices that where they are employed that their York offices were closing. And they were, you have the opportunity to move to Maine, to their corporate. And this person's like, are you kidding me? I don't like winter. Okay, and you know, I'm laughing because I'm like, oh, that would be fine with me because, boy, I'd be at the slopes and stuff. They got, you know, but it just took the wind out of them because they had been employed at this company for a long time and they didn't see it coming. So life was doing good. They're on the mountaintop and then pow, they get the wind knocked out of them and they're just down in the valley. You know, maybe you've had some really tragic news and it's just put you down in the valley. Or you're like, man, my marriage is doing good, the job is doing good, and then you got a crazy teenager that is doing stupid, dumb, ridiculous stuff, and it just hurts. It hurts, okay? And you're like, gee, I was up in the valley, I mean, up in the mountain, and now I'm down in the valley. So life just will throw stuff at you. So what do we do? Okay, this is the thing. What do you do when you get the bad report? What do you do when you got, I'm on the mountain, and all of a sudden I've got one or two things that just make this life so heavy that I'm splat, I'm in the valley. Well, it's real interesting when you look in your Bible, but always should be looking in your Bible. You look in your Bible and you look at scriptures that have to do with valleys. You look at scriptures that have to do with valleys, and usually there's about five things that happens, or four things. One, a valley is usually where a battle's going to take place. You go in your Bible stories, the battle's going to take place. Anybody feel like you're in the valley in a battle? Yeah, sometimes it does. It feels like that. A valley represents desperate times. I am desperate. A valley often represents, in the Bible, real loneliness. So those are kind of my negative. But lots of times when you go reading these stories in the Bible about valleys, and listen, the Old Testament talks about them all the time, a valley oftentimes talks about growth. Everybody say, I love to grow. I love change. That's one of my, I love change. Okay, so a lot of times you'll read in the Bible that valleys have to do with you growing. So write this down if you're taking notes on your orange card. Ready? We may enjoy God on the mountaintops. We may enjoy him. I enjoy him a whole lot of times. I got the parking place. I've got this going good. I'm enjoying God. And I really am a real praiser. Anything that happens good, I'm just going, God, you're so good. I love you. I praise you. God, you're awesome. So I love doing that, but I'm going to throw the but in there. Ready? But we get to know God really intimately in the valleys. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah. Okay. We may enjoy him when the times are really, really good. I enjoy God. I enjoy he's good. But you really get to know him in different ways when you're in the valley. Anybody ever found out who God was when you were in a valley and in difficult, really tough times? Well, open up to Psalm 84, verse 5. We're going to look at that. We're just going to do verse 5, 6, and 7, and we're going to look at a couple translations. And if you've ever read this, you might have just, because the beginning of that is pretty well known, but you get down to verse 5, and you're like me, we just kind of breeze past that. Like, okay, I'm moving. But I want to dig into this because this talks about, hey, I know the God on the mountaintop, but I'm going to know the God in the valley. So we're going to go dig in that. I hope you get more understanding. I sure did. So y'all at Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in God, right? Blessed are those whose strength is in God, whose hearts are set on a pilgrim's. They pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God. Okay, my first question when I read that, what is Baca? You know, we did a series, about 4 months ago on different valleys and stuff. And I was like, I didn't even get to this one. So what is the Valley of Baca? Well, the Valley of Baca has to do with a particular kind of tree that grew there. A particular kind of tree that grew there. And it would ooze out sap. this oozy stuff comes out of it. So the tree was called a weeper. A weeper. And if you walked by, you would see this thing weeping sap, weeping outside of it, okay? And that's why a lot of the translations will say not only the Valley of Baca, but they'll say the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Weeping, and the Valley of Loss. Yay, don't touch that tree, right? Also in the valley, when you go into your studying in your Bibles, you'll see that a valley, and we'll pop up another scripture in a little bit, a valley has to do with really dangerous place. It's a really dangerous place, all right? So they've got wild animals, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, no, right? They've got wild animals in there. They've got people waiting to jump out and rob you, okay? It's a really dangerous place. The terrain usually is really rough and rocky and all that stuff going on. So a valley is a difficult place to get through without something bad happening. A valley is sometimes a difficult place to get through, all right? And yet this psalm says, blessed are those whose strength is in God. Blessed are those, everybody say that with me. Blessed are those whose strength is in God. Now, interesting, if you're here and you don't know God really intimately, then chances are you're going to have times where you say, man, I have had enough. I am overwhelmed. I don't have it. I can't do it. I'm done. Anybody have some days where you're like, that's it. I can't do it. Well, the truth is, if you don't know God intimately, God really know God intimately, what you have is all you have. I'm going to say that. I found this out in my life. What you have is all you have. Anybody go, I don't have any more. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. So if you don't know God, what you have, know God personally, know God, really, really know your God. What you have is all you have, all right? Now, for all of those that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have spent time, you're knowing your God. And by the way, it's not a one time I've received Jesus, I know him. It is a day to day to day, and you know, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years until Jesus takes you home. It is knowing him. All right. But I will say, for those of you that know him, that really know him, we believe there's a strength that comes from heaven, right? We believe there's a strength that comes from God. So when I'm done, when I'm through, when I can't, I have a strength. I believe this. I've walked this. Anybody ever just go, God, I have your strength. And he just makes it, he just carries you through that. Praise God, he does. I want to give you an example. Praise the Lord. Some of you may know about this. I'm just beginning to this. But have anybody ever worked with weights before? You've gone to the gym and worked at weights? Chance. This is an inside joke here. Okay. So you're at the gym and you're working on weights. And you usually start with the big weights. I won't tell you what weights are mine, big ones. And you're pushing, you usually do about 3 reps of 12, the really big ones. And then you're done, right? I'm done. Give me the next thing. Okay, but this is the day you're going to be a glutton for punishment, and you decide to do really just the bar, real nothing's on the bar, but you're going to do 50 of them. And you're thinking, piece of cake, I could do 50 of them. Now, the first 20... 25, 30, 35, 40, it's going really good. And then that thing called lactic acid just goes all over, burning, screaming. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, praise God. All right, and you are ready to quit, but you got a workout buddy with you. Anybody have a workout buddy? Mine's not here today. Okay, so you got a workout buddy, and they go yelling at you. First, they grab the bar with you, and they go, come on, you can do this, you got this. Come on, you got it, you got it. And they're helping you, right? They're helping you. And then you hit, remember we're going to 50, so at 30, 35, 36, 37, 40, 42, I can't do this. But you got that workout buddy, and they grab hold of that, And they're going, come on, you got it. And you're done. You're quit. And they're doing it. They're going, they're insane. They're yelling, you got this. Come on, you got this. You got, no, I don't. I quit. I'm done. I'm like lazy, all right? Anybody ever do that before? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the end, it was all your workout buddy, right? They took over. I did not quit. Okay. All right. Here's the good news, ready, for all you that are followers of Jesus Christ. You have somebody better than that workout buddy. His name is God. His name is Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. And when you quit, you call on the name of the Lord, and he will be your strength to get you through situations you wouldn't even wish on your enemy, and you find yourself in those places, and you think, I cannot do one more minute of this day. I cannot take this kid, this teenager of mine, one more minute. Okay, God, I need you, because I'm in the valley. And listen, blessed are those whose strength is in the Lord. Amen? Praise God. This may not be for you today. You might be sitting on that valley waving your hands, but you may encounter somebody that God puts in your path, and this is what you're going to encourage them with. God is with you. Praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all say that again. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. Now, it's really interesting. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. Did you notice it doesn't say, blessed are those who can do it on their own? It doesn't say they're blessed, those that do it on their own. It doesn't say, blessed are those that can pull themselves up out their bootstraps all by themselves. All right? It doesn't say, blessed are those who are so determined. It doesn't say, blessed are those. It doesn't say that. And you know what? We live in a culture and a time where we just kind of idolize, I call it this independent spirit. I can do it. I have to work on that one, all right? I don't want to need anybody, right? I want to be financially independent, okay? How about this one? I'm good on my own. I don't want to need anybody. I don't need God, and I don't need anybody. Okay, that's that goofy independent stuff, right? But listen, everyone, we were not created to be independent. God did not create you to be independent. God created you to be dependent on him, and amazing enough, he creates you to be dependent on other people. Yep. Praise God. You sure look happy about that. Amen. All right. And listen, blessed are you when you realize that you are not independent person. Blessed are you when you are realizing that you are dependent on God and his strength in really in the tough valleys and the long valleys. Anybody been in a long time in a valley where it's just long and hard? Yeah. Blessed are you when you realize you've got him and you just cry out to him. He comes in and he'll be your strength. He'll get you through. I'm looking at some of you. I know your stories. I've watched you go through valleys, and I knew they didn't make it on themselves. I watched you walk with God. Praise God. Alrighty, I'm going to read this verse again, Psalm 84, verse 5, but I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, and it says something just a little bit interesting. Okay, Psalm 84, verse 5, this is the New Living, they'll pop it up. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Okay, what the heck is a pilgrim to Jerusalem? Well, when you're in this valley, okay, you're in a difficult season. You're in a tough times. It's just hard, okay? What it's saying is you are on your way to a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. No, you're on your way to the city of refuge. That's another name for Jerusalem, a city of refuge. Another place says it's a place of peace. So you're on your way to a place of peace. Amen. That's good stuff. All righty. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Sometimes the valley is a pathway, okay, a pathway to a place of peace. a place of peace. So guess what we have to do? We have to push through the valley. We push through the valley to get to this place of peace. Or let's put it this way. We push through the valley to get to the presence and the power of God. We push through this to get to the presence and power of God. Praise the Lord. Now, back the verse again. So it says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds. Everybody say, my mind is set. All right. Whose mind is set on what? On a pilgrim's to Jerusalem. In other words, my mind is set on him. My mind is set on God, who's the strength. My mind is set on God, who is peace. My mind is set. Now, the Apostle Paul spit this out a lot of places, like in the Colossians. You can just write it down. Colossians 1, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things below. Anybody ever hear that one? Set your mind on things above, all right? He also said in Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on those things. Think on those things, okay? Praise God. Think on those things. So where you're at in your valley is not what you have to set, is not where you set your mind. Okay? I'm not denying I'm in there, but I'm going to set my mind on God. You are with me. God, you're my strength. God, you're helping me get through this. All right? So we're going to set your mind on this. Let me give you a story. A friend of mine told me this. It's probably about a month ago. She and her husband had gone to bed, and it was like 3:00 in the morning, and her husband must have been having a really struggle sleeping through the night, because he must have been tossing and turning. Anybody have husbands tossing and turning, or wives? Okay. So she rolls over to him, because he's just doing the flip. She rolls over and just looks and goes, what is the matter? No. She says, what is the matter, honey? Yeah, because they're all those sweet little wives. Okay. All right. And he said, I can't sleep. And she turns over him and she goes, don't say that. And she's gone. I was hanging out with him, a couple, and he goes, it's 3:00 in the morning. This is my wife who never yells. And she goes, don't say that, like in my face. And he's like, okay, I won't say that. And then she whips her, she goes into mode. You say this, God is with me. You say this, God is your peace. You say this, God gives his beloved rest in the night season. He goes, okay, but you're scaring me. She rolls over and goes to sleep. That was it. And you know, so I had been out to dinner with this couple, and he said, you know, the funny thing was, she was absolutely right. She was right. So write this down. What you think on matters. What you think on matters. I have gotten up at night, and I'm not thinking on the good things. I am thinking on da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, I do the toss turn. So what you think on matters, all right? Praise the Lord. What you think on matters. You will sleep better at night. By the way, turn off your TV. Don't watch that and go right to bed. Because I'm telling you, I did it. It's not good. It doesn't work. It doesn't help me. All right? So let me encourage you, everybody, let me encourage you. Your current situation, your current valley, your current difficult thing that you're in right now, yep, it's there. But what do you need to do? We need to set our mind on him. Okay? Your heart might be racing. It has been busted. Your kid just did something that just smashed your heart. Yep, had that. But I'm going to set my mind on him. He is the lover of my soul. He is the restorer, okay? You could be having emotions that are going zigging and zagging all over there. But you know what? I am going to fix my mind on God. God, you are my peace. I am keeping my thoughts on you. And you know what? Get your mouth moving while you're doing it. Not just, I'm thinking. I'm moving my mouth. Okay, I'm moving my mouth the whole time. God, you're with me. You're my peace. I don't care what I see. I know you're in me. You're with me. You're working through me. And this situation is nothing to you. You got this, and I am walking with you. I just start talking the whole time. You should see me in the car all by myself. I'm just talking the whole time, having a great old time, all righty. Who was I talking to this week? Don't raise your hand if I tell them this story. Somebody I was talking to, and we were talking about, oh, it's the Christmas season, and, you know, the song goes, it's the happiest season of all. And you want, and we're talking, and we're going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay? Because, you know, sometimes there's so much that gets put on our plate. There's so much pressure. It could be pressure from your in-laws and your outlaws. It could be pressure. Oh, my gosh, I'm hosting the whole family. Oh, my gosh, I've got to clean my house. I've got to buy gifts. It could be pressure. Or you've had the real one. You get a phone call, and there's a real tragedy that was at the other end of the line that says, this one happened several years ago. They woke up, and so-and-so was dead. Their spouse was dead in bed. No, nothing, no warning. Okay? So, yeah, I'm kind of going a little ballistic, all right? But what you're going to do is we're going to set our mind on Him. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to set my mind on the goodness of God, that God is love, that God is always good, that God is with me. He doesn't jump ship. He is with me. He is my peace. All right, so yes, we have mountaintops, and then we get stuck in these valleys, and they happen. Nobody raises their hand for them, but I'm going to set my mind on Him. He is my peace. He's with me. Praise God. How about this one? I know the greater one who lives with me. He's in me, and He's going to help me put over here. All right, how about this one? He is a light into my path and a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. Okay, that means I'm going to make it through this valley. I'm not going to fall on my face in the dark. He is a light. He is a light. All right, so I'm going to set my mind on those things, all right? Now, praise God. What do you do when you're in your valley? Praise the Lord. And you're in the valley. The scripture says we're on a pilgrimage. We're passing through. Okay. So sometimes you're like, I am still here. No, this scripture says we're passing through. So let's look at that one again. Verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Okay. As they pass through. So this is what I tell myself. Next year, this is going to make a great story. Next year, I have a good story to say. But then, you know, the nitty-gritty is I am passing through this. I didn't build my house here. I am walking through this. This is not your forever. Your valley is not your forever. How many of you found out what you thought was crisis, and it's a couple years later you're going, yeah, I made this through this. I saw the goodness of God. I saw the love of God. I saw my God. He became real to me. All right, so that's one of those things you just have to say, listen, I may be in this valley, but this isn't my home. I am journeying to a place of refuge. I'm going to a place of peace. I am going through this. All right, I was thinking of a funny story. Oh, gosh, years ago, my dear friends were going to go away for a weekend down in D.C., and we were going to get to watch the boys, James and John. And, background is that week we tore out we were getting ready to lay tile in my foyer. You walk in my front door, the foyer into my kitchen. And so we have torn this out. My refrigerator is no longer in my kitchen. It's in my dining room. My stove is no longer in my kitchen. It's in my dining room. The place looks like a demolition zone. And I get two extra kids, so we're up to six kids, two adults. And it snows. It snows. And I was just not nice. I'm trying to clean up. Got the kids with the boots and the gloves and the snowsuits. I don't even know where the dryer was. I don't think that was even in there because everything had to be pulled out to lay the tile. So we got drying racks all over the place. Oh, and this is a good part. I couldn't cook, so my kids ate cereal. Cereal. They were just having a heyday. 2 days, probably Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, those days, cereal. And I didn't have to, we just put the milk outside. It was cold. This is great. So they thought it was a great thing, and I'm just stressing out. I'm having a terrible time. When their parents came, I'm like, good, take them. I don't want to see them again. I just, you know. And I've seen them forever. But you know what? The Lord reminded me, Dee, that was a valley. You're just, you know, and that was sort of a little thing in life. There's obviously I've walked through a lot of serious things. But the Lord reminded me, Dee, it is a great story on Sunday morning. You made it through. You got new tile. You're ready to tear it out again. But, you know, it's okay. You get through this. And I finally had a breakdown, which none of y'all know. But I went to bed that one night. By Saturday night, I'm just probably yelling at Jack because I don't really cry. I usually yell. And he's just like, he goes, honey, just chill. Be at peace. It's going to be fine. He's right. Okay? So, everybody, just chill. Be at peace. It's going to be fine. Because we are passing through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, David said it better than I did. Pop up Psalm 23. Y'all know this. Psalm 23. You're going to see, it's not just me. He just says it nicer. Here we go. You can say this with us. Y'all know this. You can probably say it with that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We can stop there. Guess what? That's bad, right? Fear, evil, bad things going on. And he says, but I will walk through this. I will fear no evil because Emmanuel says, God is with me. Amen? God is with me. So in the middle of your, okay, God is with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at that verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. Not where we're done with the Lord is my shepherd. Let's go back to Psalm 84. Praise the Lord. They pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of spring, and the autumn rains also cover it with pools. It's real interesting, kind of dissecting some of those words. If you look up at the King James, it says it makes it a well. They make it a well. So this one says they make a spring, and the King James says they make it a well. They make a well. Okay, so if you're in a dry place, you're in a desert, you're going to dig a hole, right? Because it's dry. You're going to dig a hole, you're going to make a container so that it will be ready to get some rain in it, so it'll be the provision for you. Okay, so you're digging a hole for a well or a spring. You make a container. You actually are preparing for God to do something. You are digging a hole, making this container, waiting for God to bring the rain. So what do you do in your real life? Not that one where you're out in the desert. What do you do in your life when it's a valley time? Where it's hard, it's dry, it's dark. You sometimes feel like you haven't even seen God forever. No, wrong. You don't get a lollipop, okay? You make room for the presence of God. Now this one says you dig. You dig a well or you dig a spring, but you make room. You make room for the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God. You make room for that, all right? Now, it hasn't rained yet, but I know my God is with me. I know my God will provide for me. He'll walk me through this. So I am going to prepare, all right? I am going to prepare. While I'm in this valley, I am going to prepare for the presence of God, the power of God, God in my life. All righty, now. It's almost, think about this, it's almost like God saying, you show me your faith and I will show you my faithfulness. You dig it, I'll fill it. Come on. You have a part. You. This is what it's saying. I'm going to dig a hole, right? You prepare for me and I'll show up. Dig a well, dig, right? How about that? Now, that's just not me. Jesus actually had the same, I'm going to call it philosophy. Okay, in the New Testament, there's this this guy with a withered hand. Remember the guy with a withered hand? And Jesus just didn't say, healed. He didn't just do that. You know what he said? Stretch forth your hand and I will heal it. You dig it, I'll fill it. You prepare, I'll show up. Okay, he also did it with another guy. He was sick. No, he couldn't walk for 38 years. Okay, I better check my notes. 38 years. You know, I remember all those numbers. I'm so good at numbers, all right? And Jesus just didn't walk up and say, "Power of Jesus healed." He said, "Pick up your mat and walk." All right. So, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. You dig it, I'll fill it. You prepare, I will reveal myself. That's God. All right? It's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. It's letting God be God. How about you pray and I'll answer? How about this one? Yeah. You prepare and God will be there. Okay? So we have a part to play. I was going to do this and I was just struggling trying to find this. How many of you know Joel Osteen? Okay? How many of you remember his dad, John Osteen? Write this down. Look it up later. He did a message. Incredible. It's called Saturday's Coming. Saturday's Coming. And it's all about you dig it, I fill it. And it was about a mother and a daughter. A daughter had all sorts of things wrong with her. And they just doctors, just it was bad. She just was bad, bad, bad. And they dug a hole. They prepared. And God came and filled it. Just go watch him. You can find him on YouTube. I was watching it the other day, okay? But again, praise the Lord. You dig a hole, God will be faithful. And how many of you know there's a bunch of if scriptures in the Bible, if promises. If you draw near to me, I will. If you seek me, I will. Yeah, how about that? If you make room for me, I'll reveal myself. So those if promises. We have a part. And listen, you might be here and you're going, "Pastor D, I have not felt the presence of God and who knows when." Well, maybe it's time to dig, prepare, and he will show up. Okay, now, I'm going to talk on a few seconds later on what that looks like, but let me just say this. God rarely reveals himself to people who are in a rush. You know, okay? Think about Moses. Imagine this. Moses and the burning bush. And Moses is driving 80 miles an hour. He loves to drive fast, just like me. And there's the burning bush. And he goes, "Oh, let me take a picture. Instagram, post it. Hashtag, ooh, burning bush. Hashtag, God's wow." And then he just goes cruising. Okay, that's not what happened, right? That's not what happened. It says, God says, "Hey, stop. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Hey, be still. Hey, stop." Okay, and I'll do focus, 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 you know. I'll do that to myself. I do that to people here, okay? But listen, if you dig it, he'll feel it. If you prepare, he'll show up. He does. That is God. He loves you, all right? But, I love the buts. It's time to be still. It's time to be still, okay? I have, all of you, the most of you, pretty, I really, have been through some really big valleys, big horrible things, okay? And I have been through more times than I want to count, but this is what I do to be still. I find a place. I was laughing. I was talking to my sister Liz. She said I would call her and I'd lock myself in the bathroom when my kids were little. That was the only place that had a lock, bathrooms, because I had kids. But now, I was a big girl now, so I grab my Bible, I find a quiet place, and I just go, "God," I cry out to him. It's okay to cry out to him. He loves to hear you. "God, I can't do this. God, I'm done. I don't have any more me." And I'll just go through the Bible. When I'm really in a wreck and I'm really emotional, I start in Psalms. Okay, when I got a little bit of a head on my shoulder and I know where I'm going, I'll go to some of the promises that Paul writes here. But I'll just camp out and I'll just go, and all of a sudden, especially those Psalms, they just start speaking to me, all right? But God speaks better when you stop, all right? If you dig it, that means you stop, you prepare, he will fill it. And every time I've gotten this this comfort, this peace, like, "We're going to make it, girl. We're going to make it. I got the bar. We're going. You got it. We're going through," okay? Every time. And there's many times I have to run back because, you know, I go out and do stuff, and I have to run back and dig a hole, prepare for his presence, get into his presence, stop, and get in the word, all right? Amen. Anybody have ever had to do that? like you had to stop because it's just going bananas. You have to stop. Anybody have this like overwhelming presence come with you, come on you, and you're like, okay, I got that peace. I got that peace. We're going to go through this. And next year it's going to be a funny story. Yeah, praise God. It does. All right. Last verse 7. It says they go from strength to strength till each appears before Zion. He goes from strength to strength, okay? And the other one says, blessed are those whose strength is found in God. So listen to this. So you know, most of the time it's not a pow. You got all your answers. You just feel, ah. Most of the time it's an everyday. I go from strength to strength. And God gives me some more for the next day. And I go from more to more. Some more strength and more strength. And then usually all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, I'm through it. I'm in Jerusalem. I'm in the refuge. I'm in the place of peace. So it's many times it's more and more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. All right? Every day. It's an every day. Praise God. So you get into that peace and you stay in there. Amen. Praise God. So that's kind of what God's done for me over the years. God is with us. He is with us on the mountains. He is with you in the valleys because he is with us. Amen. Praise God. Can I pray for y'all? Good. Close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. They're going to put the coffee back on. No. Yeah.